Well, praise the Lord. How many are glad to be in the house of God today? He deserves all glory, doesn't he? Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's say it one time again today. It was good last time. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. I said, for the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endures forever. Amen. Isn't that good news? The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. So if you missed it last night or 5 minutes ago, His mercies are new this morning. Hallelujah. Good news. I mean, if you live next door and you got in a fight with your wife, you know, walk 2 blocks or however far you came across town, got dressed and, you know, or maybe you fought with yourself right up here. How many ever done that? Well, there's other people in the Bible that have done that too. But I want us to open to Luke for a minute. I want to talk a little bit about giving this morning first before we get into the message. We'll just have a little Luke 16. Jesus was constantly doing all kinds of things that the Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't like, would they? Healing on the Sabbath, all kinds of things. But anyway, here's a little passage, and it says, let's just start at the first verse and read down about 10 here. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? He's making a plan, isn't he? For my Lord takes away from me the stewardship, or his boss. He's firing him. I cannot dig to beg, I'm ashamed. I'm resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord, unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take your bill and write 80. Instead of 100, he said, write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon, or the riches of unrighteousness, that when you fail or when you die, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So we have a parable here that Jesus began to talk about. He said, hey, there's a certain rich guy. He's got somebody that works for him. He's a steward of his business or his goods. He's working for him. Apparently he wasn't of the large caliper, you know. He said, I can't dig. The steward says, I can't dig, or at least he didn't want to dig, you know. So he said, I'm ashamed to beg. What am I going to do? The master has found out that I'm not being wise. I'm not being a good steward of his money. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say to these people that owe him money, give less. I'm going to charge you less. Why is he charging them less? So that when he's fired, he's got something to say to them. I charge you less, now you can help me. Amen. That's the way the world works. This is the unrighteous world, the unrighteous mammon, the unrighteous money, the unrighteous riches. And he took those riches, and Jesus says, this guy's being pretty wise because he's purchasing ahead of time friendships. And what we do when we give, He's canceling part of their debt, but we're canceling the debt of sin. Jesus canceled the entire debt, but we're purchasing and making friends with people so that they can hear the gospel. When we give into the gospel, they hear and we make friends who will be our friends in heaven forever. They're going to come looking for you. You gave that $50 or you gave that $10 that put enough gas in that man's car to go across town to preach the gospel to someone. Or you put this into the gospel. It kept the lights on so people could come and hear the word of God. He said, and I am now crediting that to your account. Now that you have failed, now that you're here and you're standing before the master. Hallelujah. Our master, Jesus. He says, now give an account. What did you do with what I did give you? Were you a good steward of it? Did you use it to help win souls into the kingdom? Did you give it unto me by giving it unto others that they may speak forth the word of God, that all of us together as a body would be available, that Jesus would be proclaimed, that men's sin would be canceled, that they would receive us in eternal habitation. When we arrive, are there going to be people there that greet you and say, thank you? Thank you. And that's an eternal reward. Something that, you know, the Bible says when we love Him, we're going to set up, you know, our where your money is, your heart is also. If it's in the gospel, then that's where our heart is. How much are we putting into the gospel with what we have? He's not asking us to give more than what we have. He's asking us to give what we do have. And say, okay, Lord, I can give, you know, like for example, okay, maybe it's been 20 some years, but you give faithfully. Let me give them faithfully, $20 a month, whatever, over 20 some years. It was $6,300 and some dollars. I wasn't waiting till I got a whole bunch of money. I want to be faithful with the little that I do have. I want to be faithful with the $5. Because this is what happens. If you're not, maybe you're called to be a gospel entrepreneur. You're called to give billions to the gospel or millions to the gospel. Or maybe it's just 100,000. You know, whatever it is. But you're called, we're all called to be stewards of what we do have. But if you're not a steward of that $5, you're not going to be a good steward when you have the thousands of dollars and the millions of dollars. Amen? We have to learn with what we do have and give what God has, you know, what He gives us. The Bible says, as a man purpose in our heart. That tells me then part of stewardship might be that I need to write a budget. That's what God told me. He said, where's your budget, son? Well, it's right here. So that's a good, but if you don't really write it down, do I really have one? I'm just saying, you know, man, the Bible says, plans his way, God directs his steps. It doesn't mean it's not subject to some change here and there. Obviously, things have changed for my life. I went from making X number of dollars to, you know, less. We'll just say less. But that's okay. Because the Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be content, whether I abound or I'm abased, whether I have a whole bunch or whether I have a little. But I'm going to be a good steward with whatever it is that I do have. I'm not going to be wasteful. I mean, I don't go gamble. I don't drink. I don't smoke or any of those things that the world does. That's a plus. You know, those are expensive habits. You know, but they're also not, most of them are not giving into the gospel. Amen. So I've got money left over. And, you know, the Bible principle, this is not a law, but it is a principle. You know, Jesus, you know, we talk about, hey, 10%, you know, to the Lord. Well, why 10%? Because that was the amount that Abraham gave. It wasn't something he had to do. He got rich before he gave it. He did. He got money before he gave it, but it doesn't mean we have to be rich. You know, I'm sure he wasn't automatically wealthy. It said he became, you know, as he followed God, he became rich. You know, but along the way, as he's moving along, he said, yeah, I'm giving a tenth. I believe Abraham was given a tenth all along. Don't you think? He gave tithes, not of some, but of all. Everything. Everything that came to him. He began saying, oh, okay. I got this little. You know, I got $5, I gave 50 cents. You know, it was a Bible principle. It's not automatically given back to you. God doesn't say, hey, cha-ching, cha-ching, if I give to God, he's going to bless me. However, even Cornelius, who was not born again, but he was devout unto God, the Bible says his alms came up before God as a memorial. Well, giving's not very spiritual. Well, I bet you it is. I said, if I give you $1 million, brother, I bet you'll get real spiritual. Woo! Glory! We never seen Terry run before, but there he goes. He ran all around the church, all the way outside even. Glory to God. He got excited, you know, but it is. It's part of our life. It's not everything, but it is something that we have to think about and pray about and ask God. Say, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. That's the second thing that the Lord told me. He said, I began to ask for wisdom. He said, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Well, what happened? Oh, I got great wisdom. I did. The Lord says, you know, I looked into how much my house insurance was. Get this, $800 a year I was able to reduce it because I looked at it. Got my car insurance down. And then I looked at it. The next year I looked at it again, moved it down. Wasn't a lot, but $15 a month. And we know that adds up. The little by little. The Bible says in Proverbs, he who saves little by little will be rich. And the Lord showed me ways that I could save a little money. You know? I like what Pastor Dave, she says sometimes, maybe you need to cut a room off of your house. Instead of having a 4-bedroom house, you have a 3 or a 2-bedroom house. And you live a little bit less. You don't buy as fancy of a car. I didn't buy a brand new car. I got a used car. And I looked at the ones at the showroom, and I like to do that once in a while. You know why I like to do it? Because I find out that that brand new car takes me from A to B just like my car. I said, it ain't so fancy after all. I'm just using it to get around town, you know. I'm not saying you can't have a fancy car. If God blesses me with $1 billion, I mean, what, you know, he doesn't mind you having things. It's that those things have to belong to him. And that's something that I learned long, long time ago. When my wife and I first got married, I was led by God. We just laid hands on everything we own. We did. Lord, this belongs to you. If you ask for it, we're going to give it to you. Well, you got that from Gary Carpenter. No, this was way before I ever heard of Gary Carpenter. Way before. Long time before that. Okay? Everything of ours belongs to the Lord. You know, and my car belongs to God. And my truck belonged to God. It doesn't mean I have to let everybody use it. But if it's needed from time to time, the Lord may lead me to do that. I have to be willing. You know, I've given away a couple of cars by the direction of the Lord. It's a joy. It's a joy to give. Yeah, but I bet you it was just an old, yeah, it was. After I fixed it up, though, it was a pretty nice one, because I don't like to give away junk. Well, it didn't cost you that much to fix it up, did it? Well, no. Maybe $1,000. Not much. You know. I mean, it's all relative. But God has a plan. He's got a plan for your giving. He's got a plan for us to receive. And when we give, he's already blessed us. Do we believe that? The Bible says sometimes there's those, you know, we withhold more than we should. And it's a joy. It's something that becomes a joy. You know, especially when he speaks to you. I've had times I just got so excited about just giving something. Or giving some money. Or giving my time. Being a steward of all that God's given us. When we're good stewards, we're going to have friends in heaven that receive us. Amen. So let's be good stewards of the word of our finances, of what we give. Nobody has to give here. We know that. But God is faithful. We believe the word of God's going to go forth because we love him and because we love his word and we love his work. And we want people to be born again. We give. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus. You're more than enough for me. I've got so much. I'm happy to give. I'm a channel, Lord. You can use me. You can trust me. I'm going to give it, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe you hear God. And I believe we're going to do that. We're going to see some people in heaven who are going to say, oh, thank you. Thank you, Miss Jim, for starting that church over there, St. Thomas. Thank you, Tony, for going to that church and being faithful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Joseph, for being the amplifier for the family prayer center. Thank you, young people, for being an example for God. Thank you. Thank you for stewarding your money and your time and your life. Thank you. We're going to get that not just for now. That's forever. For all eternity. Woo! Amen. Woo! We could preach on giving for a while, but it's a joy to give. It's a joy. So much fun. It's so much fun when you start doing that, you know. I could give a few stories, but I won't. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, the Lord is good. Amen. We talked about that when we first got here, about the goodness of God and some of the things you guys have helped us pray through. You know, number one, is Brother Doug a pastor? We got the answer. Hallelujah. God has called me to pastor. That anointing rests on me. I'm growing in that. I'm not nervous. I'm not worried. You know what the joy is? Joy is I love Him no matter what. If I never, I want to, and I'm called to, and I'm going to. But if I did never preach again, I know my Father loves me. I'm a son. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Him, and there's a lot of freedom there. You say, well, why did you say that, Brother Doug? Because it's not about who I am, but who He is in me. And I want Him to come forth. It's not about who I am. It's about who He is. And we've been telling you a little bit about ourselves and the natural. And I think that's good. You know, we're not really to know people after the flesh. In other words, you know, well, he's Dutch and she's Sweden or whatever you are. You know, or this one's Polish and that one's, you know, something else. Italian. And we had fun with all those things, you know. But God wants to know us. Who are you? Who am I really? Are you son of the living God? Do you believe that? Do you realize that? He created you in righteousness, true holiness. That's who we really are. He's forgiven us. He's cleansed us. He's made us new. He's promised us that He'll take care of us and care for us. We're not supposed to stay the same. So it's okay if you come, you know, and maybe you're in debt or you're sick or anything like that, but we want people to change. Amen. We want to let God change us. He didn't love us just to leave us like we are. Bound up in emotional torments, caught up in fear, lost in self-exaltation. Were you over there, Brother Doug? Well, no comment. No, I got flesh like you. I heard people preach and you're thinking, man, I know all of those scriptures. Lord, what's wrong with me? Nothing. Keep praying. Keep praying in the Holy Ghost because the Holy Spirit knows where you are, where you're not in the plan of God for your life. And what has been is not what shall be because He'll take you into a mighty place in Him. See, when I talk about prayer, now I am talking about praying in tongues primarily. That's our number one, right? Praying in tongues. But we're really just talking about fellowshipping with God. Okay? Worship. Pray in tongues a while. Worship God. Get His word out. Speak it back to Him. He loves to hear His word. He loves it. Because it's who He is. It's part of who He is and what He's promised. So, no, Lord, there's what You promised me, you know? Here's what You said, Lord, I thank You. I believe I got it. I believe I receive it. You said You'd heal me, Lord. Now right here. Here's my 3-4 verses I have that are real to me, that are alive to me. I mean, you may have a few more other than that, but here's the ones that mean the most to me, Lord. And I'm just going to sit here and speak the word to myself, Lord, because I know it's true. And I know you work in me to will and to do of your good pleasure. And I know that your word will not return to your void, Father, but it will accomplish whereunto you sent it. And I thank you, Father, that you sent your word to me and healed me of all my destructions, of all my sicknesses, of all my pain. Hallelujah! See, this is good news. These are the promises of God. These are the truths that God has given us. And sometimes we do that for a while, and like human beings. We faint and we lose heart. Amen. Galatians 6 warns us. It says, you know, sow to the spirit, not to the flesh. You will reap a harvest. The word of God cannot return void. It will reap a harvest. Well, how long is it going to take? Well, let's see. The early church fell into great persecution for a year. Nope. Nope. For 5 years, for 10 years, for 100 years, no. For 150 years, no. About 300, a little over 300 years. Well, I don't want to stay 300 years. I don't want to stab for 300 years. Well, are you glad that they did? Are you glad they did? They knew something. They knew something. They knew he was faithful. They didn't blame him. They didn't begin to, they may have started to, but within the word of God, we see times when James wrote back, no, don't do that. They were tempted to go back under Old Testament thinking, well, maybe just perhaps God, by some strange way, let this happen to me. He didn't do it himself, but you know, he allowed it. He just kind of went around the cross, went around Jesus and allowed this to happen. Impossible. Why? Because he's not a man that he could lie. He's just. He's completely just. He cannot lie. He will not lie about you, about me, or what he's promised. He must fulfill his word. And if you believe, it is impossible for him not to give it to you. Amen. Now we say, well, I do believe. I know it's true. Yeah. Yeah, we do. But how many know sometimes in our own heart, God knows the heart, doesn't he? And he knows in our mind, not so much our mind really, but really from our heart. He knows. He knows that there are times we have a subtle unbelief that we don't even realize we have. Well, how do you know that's true, Brother Doug? Because when you or I prayed for the impossible case in man's eyes, we'll give you an example. Here's a 3-year-old child. Is it their fault that they're crippled and imprisoned in their body? You know, you've seen them. Not many, but sometimes we'll see them. They're laying there like a vegetable, you know. Got their tongue hanging out and they're in that condition. Was it their parents' fault? No. It happened. Was it God's fault? Was it God's desire? But because we live in a sinful, fallen world, those kind of things happen. But we have all authority. Ever since we got authority, we have a healing covenant. Amen. So what's the problem, Brother Doug? You prayed for him. It didn't happen. Then Jesus walked in all of a sudden. He said, excuse me, son. He walks over. And this little girl became normal. And he brings her back to his parent, her parents. She's totally whole. So what do? I asked Jesus, what? I thought I believed, Lord. I believed. I used all the faith I had. Yet it didn't happen when I prayed, Lord. What happened? And what he told the disciples was because of their unbelief. But they did believe. They've had other miracles. They had other things happening. But many times we're moved by what we see. Or we're moved by something else. And we're saying, hey, my belief, evidently, because God would have done it if he had enough to work with. Now, I'm not blaming anybody. We don't need to condemn ourselves. But yet we need to say, hey, there's more. Because look how Jesus walked. He walked where all things were possible. Where all were healed. Everybody says, well, I don't know about that, brother. There couldn't be something in my life like that. However, when you look at history, the men of God that came to the place where all were healed, such as A.A. Allen, for example. Okay? He went to the Lord. He kept telling his wife, I'm going to fast. I got to get in here. I'm going to just fast and seek God. She'd make a real nice dinner for him and he'd eat. You know? But finally one day she brought the dinner and he just turned his plate over. He went into this closet. He said, I'm not coming out till I hear from heaven. And he got in this, probably a small closet, I don't know, apparently. And he didn't come out for many days, several days. And he came out and he had a list of, he says in his book, it was 13 things that the Lord gave him you need to get out of your life. He said the first few were pretty easy. He got down to about the last two, which he said, I'm not going to tell you what those were. Even in his book, he didn't list it. He said, but the very day I scratched the last thing off that list, walked out, and the glory of God filled the temple. It filled the building. And every person began to be healed. Every single one. I'm talking from a child that was born. Couldn't tell if it was a boy or a girl. And that child was completely healed. So there are things sometimes in our life that are fleshly that we don't realize are there. And but as we pray and God reveals and God shows and asks us, say, okay, will you take the word of God and beat this out of your life? We see these kind of things begin to take place. We can. That's the ultimate. That's where we're going. That's that. Not the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is obviously change lives. But how many know when people begin to receive miracles, people's lives are changed? How many know that family, say that three-year-old child, how many know their mother and dad is happy? They're changed. Hallelujah. All things are possible with God. You say, well, I don't know if I want to go there. And it's okay. I don't know if I want to go there. Okay. But it's possible. It's possible. All things are possible with God. Now, without Him, it's impossible. I can't do it. Man can't do it. Doctor can't do it. The nurses can't do it. The specialist can't do it. Nobody can do it. So there's nothing more we can do. But God, God said, I can do it. I'll do it. Well, what are you waiting on, God? You? Why? Why didn't he just do it? Because he can't. He has limited himself and he's given authority unto men. Even at just being human, you have a certain amount of authority. I don't want to talk about all this, but anyway, it's all good. Because we're talking about revival. Where are we going? Where do we want to go? Ultimately. Ultimately, okay? Now, I'm not saying there's not, there should be, there'll be markers along the way. I believe in it. And we get certain things done right now, and if a gift comes in operation, gifts of the Spirit come in operation, that can happen today. That's as the Spirit wills. But we want to go to a place where we believe God. Jesus, I mean, he believed his Father. Anyone that came to Jesus for healing received it. Everyone. If you can find a place in the Bible where they didn't receive it, please show me. Okay? Well, you could show his hometown where he said he couldn't do many mighty works. But they weren't coming to him to get it because they didn't believe. Because of their unbelief. But when people see the glory of God, begin to experience his power. And we have a place right here where the glory of God so exists that it oozes out into the streets. People come into the driveway. They get to walk in the door. And boom, I'm healed. I'm whole. Somebody's pushing their grandmother up the ramp and she jumps out of the wheelchair and comes running in. Oh, I got that miracle. God touched me already. Can you see the divine chaos? Hallelujah. I had a vision one time. Well, I say vision. It was kind of an inside vision. It wasn't a... outside vision, but on the inside of me, I saw it. I saw people starting to get healed all over the place. Like this here. Boom. Somebody got healed over there. They ran around. They come around here. Run by that person. They jump up. They just started running with them. I said, it was just totally like chaos. I mean, it was crazy. I said, dear Lord. You know, but then boom, they all were healed and came down. And the presence of God was so thick. We're going to worship God. Give Him glory. Why? Because some things belong to God. Everybody say it with me. All the glory is one of those things. See? Why? See, the problem is we got some people. I'm not saying everybody, but maybe we don't know yet because we hadn't got there. You know? But do I want the glory? Do I want to share in that glory? I'm sharing it in the sense that, yeah, I was the one that laid a hand, but it was His glory that was able to come through to such a degree to bring that miracle or to bring that person delivered. Maybe they're not bound in a wheelchair, but they're imprisoned in their mind. They're in the wheelchair of the mind. You ever see anybody like that? Yeah, most of us have. You see them. Maybe they're talking to you. Well, how you doing? Oh, I'm not talking to you. Yes, uh-huh. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah, I'm having a good day. It's going great. What are you talking about? Shut up. You know, or whatever they say, you know. Yeah, I'll do that later. Huh? You know, and you're thinking, boy, you know, that's not normal, is it? But they're imprisoned in the mind. How many know Jesus can touch the mind? He said, the chastisement of my peace was upon Him. By His stripes they're healed. See, the peace of God sets a man free, a woman free, a child free. The devil's a liar. He comes illegally. He came to this earth, but see, man, he didn't care if it's legal or not legal. He just comes. It's all men. Sinner and saint. So how do you know that? The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Well, I know I'm just. I'm walking with God. But I want us to see it. Are we hungry for it? Do we want to walk with Him into something like that? How many people would like to at least see that? In this generation, we haven't seen that too much. I mean, we got Benny Hinn maybe, you know, came up for him, maybe Catherine Kuhlman, but not much to this generation so far in our time. Why haven't we? Because who? Who's going to do it? See, there's price to pay. We call it a price. Sometimes I wonder if it is a price because it's glorious, it's wonderful, but it's a death to the flesh. It's a death to our own self. Catherine Kuhlman would say, I've died 1,000 deaths. Holy Spirit, come. I give myself to You. And it doesn't matter that she wasn't perfect. You know, she wasn't perfect. She'd had a divorce. She was a woman. You know, she had a lot of things against her, especially in her day. You know, it was something. Wasn't very many women preachers. Matter of fact, in my denominational church, I didn't know any women preachers. None. I heard about women preachers. I was like, really? Wow. Someone was better than the men. Amen. You know, people like that. Amy Simple McPherson. I mean, there were some things that happened, sister and brother, that we were like, well, I don't know where it is in the Bible, but it happened. It was a sign and a wonder. Talking about preaching, preachers. Some of them were great evangelists. Some of them were other, you know. It wasn't just the evangelists, but, you know, in the 50s, Brother Hagin even talked about, you know, everybody was getting healed. It was just in the air. But what God's looking for is a people that are pure and holy before Him, that are righteous, that are clean. Not just the gifts of the Holy Ghost that come. They'll be there, but it's going to be more than that. It's going to be, you know, the Bible says when the early and latter rains come together, boom, the power of God in this last hour is going to be so great. So great. Well, how do you know? It's been prophesied. It's been told about. And we know it from the Word of God. He said, when all the earth is heard. Well, all the earth is heard, brother. Don't you know there's missionaries all over? Yes, I do. But how many want to see the fullness of the gospel? It's not right for me to brush the dust off my feet if I leave you in a wheelchair and walk away. Oh, he doesn't want the gospel. I just dust my feet. Who am I? I'm a hypocrite's what I am. I'm not saying he can't get saved. I'm just saying I have no right until I give him the fullness of the gospel. I get him up out of that wheelchair and it comes to pass. Now he may not want it and he may sit down and say, no, I'm not going to accept it. But it ought to be strong enough to lift him off the chair, at least show him all you got to do is put your legs on the floor. That's the kind of glory we're supposed to walk in. And I'm not saying we're there. I'm not saying I've seen it. I'm looking for it and I'm desiring it and I'm going to get it. We're going to get it, I should say. Forgive me. I'm not a man of myself, but you know what? If it's just you, if it's just one who will go in, God will still do it. He'll do it for one. Abraham was one man, and if Abraham had gone down, he was praying for Sodom and Gomorrah, and I know, I believe, he says, Lord, peradventure there's 50, peradventure there's 40, 30, 20, Lord, oh, I'm going to beseech you one more time, oh God, surely there's 10. I think he was certain in his heart there was 10 people in Sodom. I think if he'd said, Lord, is there one? Is there one? Sodom would not have been destroyed. Even Jesus said, if they had seen the works that you people are seeing right here, it doesn't make people believe. I'm not telling you that miracles make people believe, but it does get their attention. I've seen people open up their hearts. I was out just kind of going through the neighborhood one time in Oklahoma City when we were at the church. This man came out and he had trouble with his knees. You know, we're talking to him about the Lord, trying to lead him to Christ, lead him to Jesus. Say, hey, you know, you can know God. I'm all for inviting people to church. I believe in that, but I believe we should invite them to Jesus first. You know, it's not about us getting our church filled. We're trying to fill heaven. What if they never come to your church, but they receive Jesus? Maybe they go down to the other church or that church or whatever church they... You know, maybe they were a part of a church before and they came back to the Lord. You know, it's not my responsibility to fill up the church, but we are responsible to fill up heaven. You know what? I found out people get saved. They're much more happy to come to church. They give their heart to God. I'm not saying not to invite people. Please do. Please invite our friends. I mean, y'all did great. I mean, I was so, you know how awesome that is. This little, you know, this church, which has a growing congregation. You guys had what, 30 some people here for the Christmas banquet? That means at least double what you have here, at least. More than double. And most of those people were sinners. My Lord, praise God. I was like, man, I just about did double backflip. If I could, in my spirit I did, you know. Woo! Oh, can you believe that? I mean, I was telling people, I mean, they had 30-something people there. That's awesome. That is real. I'm serious. Y'all are awesome. I was almost thinking they don't need me, but yeah, we do. You know, we need a pastor. We need someone that can take us. We've got to head in to the green pasture. Where everything is possible. Every time. First time. Yeah, we got to get it out of our life. We got all authority in our home life. You know, I mean, our children are coming in. People are going to serve God. Hallelujah. We got just we get all of our family saved. Just think about that. That's a good little bit. I've got a couple people, myself, my family, that need Jesus. Amen. My brother-in-law, he needs to get saved. I'm still praying for him. So why didn't he get saved yet? Not my responsibility. My responsibility is to believe. I know in whom I believed. I've been praying. I know God's sending laborers. I know he's probably miserable half the time. He's sad, depressed, can hardly have fun. Once in a while he might, but the goodness of God draweth a man unto repentance. Amen. How many knows that God will be good even to the sinner, even to the backslider? He's good to all, the Bible says. He's good to all. He's not being mean to them. The devil's the one being mean to them. They don't know they're blinded. They don't know they're lost. They don't see their need for Christ. But that's the things we pray. Father, open their eyes. Open their heart. Help them see their need for Jesus. Oh, Father, hallelujah. They can come to God. All of my relatives can come to Jesus. I got a bunch of them over in Holland. I prayed for them. I believe I receive it. I thank you, Father. I take you to that place called Dunn. I thank you that you're working mightily. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're seeing it on TV. They're hearing it on the radio. Every time they turn around, somebody's talking about Jesus. Glory to God, Father. I thank you. You give them visions in the day, dreams in the night, Father. Whatever's necessary, Father, bring them to Jesus. Hallelujah. May they fulfill their divine destiny. That's my prayer. You know, hopefully they will. Their divine destiny ultimately is heaven. That's the most important thing, to make heaven. Amen. Eternity is a long time to hang out. Glory to God. I got my dad up there now. Thank you guys for praying for me about that. I was able to spend that time with him, as you know, because of your prayers. It's a miracle, really. I mean, I was gone like 3 weeks, you know. I mean, how many people take off 3 weeks from work? How many knows what happens, you know? Finances begin to dwindle, you know. Hallelujah. We all needed some kind of generator, like a job, right? Or something, you know. You saved up enough, praise the Lord. That's great. Glory to God. I've got, you know, thank God my occupation just happened to be the same as my vocation. So you have an occupation in the world and a vocation in the kingdom. Right? Amen. Get a job in the kingdom. We all do. Oh, brother, you don't know nothing about working. I know. I know. It's okay. Worked most, I don't know, all my life since I was 12 years old. Or before that, actually, when I was 7, I started cutting grass around the house, you know. 25 cents an hour, you know. I thought I was rich. Then I grew some tomatoes and I sold a whole bushel for $5 and closed the stand down. Woo! That's good. Made a killing that day. Hey, when you live on Hill Road and the average is 4 cars a day, that's pretty good. You know, so. Sold Christmas trees, you name it. Hallelujah. My dad planted a whole field of them upstate New York. He said, well, me and my brother, we could use that to pay for our college. You know, it's a pretty good idea. You know? But we moved away from there later, and there's still a nice field of Christmas trees. But perhaps some people over the years cut them down. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know why I got into that. But praise the Lord. We're moving into the fullness of who he is. All that he desires. And I'm just, right now, today, I'm just kind of, I believe God wants us to see that picture of what is possible. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, how are you going to go there? How are we going to get there? Well, number one, we've got the Word of God. Amen? We're going to follow after his Word. What did he say in his word? He that does hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. I think I said it earlier. Are we hungry today? Well, brother, if you'd quit preaching, we'll go eat. Well, I could stand to miss a meal or two, as you can see. And I will. And I do. Time to time, but I'm going to get exercising, get my body in motion much more. So, y'all pray for me. Say, brother, we don't want a fat preacher. We want a skinny. No. But everybody needs to know. It's not about where you are in the natural. It's about who he is. And us believing him and knowing him. When we know him, his power is going to come. It has come. And I know, oh, well, brother, he already sent. I know he did. He sent it in us. But he wants to display it to the world. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. Your sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Young men will see visions. The old men will dream dreams. You know, why is that? They sleep longer. No, not really. You know, I'm not sure he's talking about those kind of dreams. Because how many know, sometimes when you get a little older, you kind of give up on your dreams. But God's bringing them back to some of you. The dreams that he's given you, the things that he said to you, he will fulfill. But we've got to be in position to receive it. You see, it says in James 1, it talks about that where he says when we run into trial, we run into difficulty. Sorry, I haven't given out a lot of, I've quoted a lot of scriptures today, but when we're in trial, the Lord said, ask of me wisdom. Ask me. Ask me what to do. Let me read it real quick. I'm just going to read one verse in there. James, I didn't know I was going to go there for sure. James 1:5, let's go there real quick. It's right after Hebrews, that helps you. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. First of all, we see that he's not going to withhold anything. He's a giver. It will be given to him if you ask of wisdom. But what he's saying there, he said, if any man ask of God, of God. Right in there, I looked up that word of, okay? And in the Greek, it's talking about being near, coming close, being right beside God. When we ask wisdom, we need to draw near to him. Later on in the book, if you remember, in James 4, he said, draw near to God and I'll draw near to you. Amen? When we're asking God for wisdom, we're not talking about the person that hasn't yet. Well, I haven't been to church. I haven't been reading my Bible. I haven't been praying. I haven't really done much at all. But I'm going to go see Pastor Doug and get some counsel who can possibly guess what's going on in my life and give me a little spiritual direction. But fortunately, you got a good pastor and he can give you some direction. Take some time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Begin to spend long hours, as much as you can, praying in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but brother, you don't understand. I was fired from my job. I don't know what to do. Well, you got 40 hours to pray in tongues a week. You said, what? That's what I said. If you work, yeah, but that's hard. Well, is work hard? This is not a natural work. This is a supernatural work. Everybody says, well, you're just in works. No, I'm not in works because it does not originate with me. See, works originate with man. Works are what we do to try to feel good. Works are what you've already been doing to try to fix the problem. That's works. But I begin to pray in the Holy Ghost and he begins to teach me. And he says, no, don't do that. Stop. Yeah, but that's a great. Stop. Yeah, but that's a really good. Stop. I want you to do this over here. Yeah, but that doesn't look very good. I don't know if I even like that. Yes, but you go and do it. And in 6 months, a year, turn out to be 10 times better than the other. That looks so wonderful. Over here. See, the wisdom of God is not always the wisdom of man. Yeah, but Lord, you want me to sell my house? you don't know how long I paid on. I'm just, the place is really almost paid off now. I can stay right here and we'll be in good shape. Even if I sell it, whatever it is. I'm not saying, you know, I'm just giving examples, you know. Wisdom. When we ask, He gives, but we have to be in position to receive. If we don't draw near Him, beside Him, start looking a little bit at least into the Word of God, you know, counsel comes. See, you can come talk to me and I can give you counsel, I can give you guidelines and direct you into Him. But I can't always tell you everything to do. Why? Because I'm a natural man like you. But the Holy Ghost could bring me something. I would suggest, if you do come talk to me, say, Lord, I'm drawn on, I know Brother Doug's kind of a rough guy. And he's not always as spiritual as I'd like to have as a pastor, but I'm drawing on that anointing that you placed in him. I'm going to go talk to him. You know, I've done that. I've had pastors, I didn't think they were all that great. And, you know, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm not looking to that person. I'm looking to you. You're in them and there's an anointing on them to help me. And I'm drawing on that gift. Hallelujah. Draw on that gift. It's all right. He just might help you through. He'll help you if you pray in tongues for sure. Now, when I'm talking about prayer, we're really talking about fellowshipping with God. It's not just tongues. Okay. Sorry you lost your job, but you know, now you got 40 hours to seek after heaven. You know, I know we laugh about it, but it's not funny. I've seen it happen. I watched a guy lost his job. Well, what happened? He got another one pretty quickly. Why? Because the devil don't like you praying all the time. That's for sure. And God wants you to have a job so you have some income so you can give and you take care of yourself. Not be a thief, right? Thief? Well, if you're mooching on everybody else, what's that, right? That's different. I'm not talking about your mom. You know, that's good. That's fair. She's supposed to help you, you know. If you're still living at home, that's good. Mom's supposed to help you a little bit, right? They lay up for their children and help them. But comes the day, you're going to have to take care of yourself. You know, all of us. I know when I was young, 18 or just about to turn 18, I'd hear parents say it. Well, my son turns 18, he's out of here. You know, I'm like, wow, you know. My parents never said that, but I was ready to get out myself. You know, you want to spread your wings, you know, find out whether or not you can fly. I did okay, you know. I did have to land in for a couple months once, so you know, come home for a landing. So. Restart, please. But God was good. And He was still faithful. He's always good. He'll take you in His hands. So, well, I don't know if I really want to make that commitment. Okay. He'll love where you are. You want half His blessings? Okay. You want a little bit of power? He'll let you have it. He will. You want to play with the toys? Okay. If you want to know Him, you really want to grow up in Him, you want to be a son who's ready to work with his father in the family business, in the family kingdom. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, anyway, that's the vision that we're looking at. Where are we going? Where are we going? To the place where all things are possible. I mean, right now. Now we got to remember, it doesn't negate faith. Because sometimes we say, I laid hands on that person and nothing happened. And I'm going to give this example. And I'm giving it from somebody else, but not, well, I've had these examples as well, but when, well, let me think. I want to share that or not. But, yeah. Okay. I prayed for one person one time. And their back was really bothering them. I mean, bad. Real bad. And I prayed for them. And I thought, well, nothing seemed to... it didn't appear anything had happened. But I did happen to mention to him, I said, just, I wouldn't be surprised if God's, you know, working on you. Even when you go to bed at night, you might feel something, you might not. But God's power is going to keep working. And 3 days later, he came back totally cured. Now, it didn't appear anything happened. But how many know the Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This gal here, she's in recovery.
Hallelujah.
She's recovering stronger and stronger, better and better. Rooting out every work of the enemy. Disease cannot stay, because that's what I say. That's all you got to do. Disease, you cannot stay. I resist you today. I resist you on your onset. I'm going to keep resisting you. Hallelujah. And God's going to give me grace to stand and count it all joy. Not that it is joyful, but I count it joyful when I face any kind of trouble, whether it be big or small. I'm going to draw near and ask for wisdom. And he's going to give it to me liberally. Why is he going to give it? Because he's a giver. He's not a withholder. He said, and abradeth not. It means he's just totally set his mind that I will not. I abolish the thought of not giving it to you. That's what he's saying. I abrade it not. I will not withhold it. I cannot. I will not. Drawing right there with God, going to him. No, you said, well, I haven't been going to him, then what can I do? He said, come boldly to the throne of grace and receive grace to help in time of need. What kind of grace? Well, maybe you need the forgiving grace first. How long does that take? Not long. Be quick to repent. He'll come. That's the good news. Amen. Because we've got a God that's faithful. But I haven't been doing that, Lord. He said, well, what is that grace? It's God taking his strength through your weakness. Treating you just like you had prayed. Treating you just like you were perfect. See, there's a difference. Mercy says we don't get what we deserve. What do we all deserve? We all deserve hell. We're not getting it. Maybe somebody did something to you and they deserved to go to jail. They stole something from you. But you caught them. You said, put it back. Put it back. Put that microwave back. Now you steal from my house. Don't steal from my house. You put it back, I'll just let you go. That's your mercy. That's your mercy. But grace says, put it back. Now come here. Come on in the house. Sit down and have a meal with us. Here's a room over here for you. Here's a bed. Come stay with me. And the Father says, come to me. You are now my child. I not only forgive you and release you of all that you've ever done. I've forgiven you. I've cleansed you. I've made you free. But I adopt you as my child. I take you as my own. Come on in the house. All I have is yours. For the asking. For the asking. Jesus said, it's coming a day. He says, right now I'm here. We're talking to the Father. You know, but you're going to ask. You just ask the Father. He's going to give it to you. See, that's why Moses was in so much trouble for smiting the rock the second time. Because the first time he was supposed to strike the rock and the water came out. Second time he just got angry and he's trying to beat. You know, anybody ever got angry? You know, you're thinking, come on, God! What's going on? This is the Word of God! Now come on, God! And you were like, really weren't doing out of a heart of thanksgiving, but out of a heart of, come on, you know? You know, we're upset, you know? We're angry. Now, he's not mad at you for that. But Moses became angry and he beat the rock. Now we know what the rock represents. Jesus. First time Jesus was whipped already for us. Now we just ask Him. Now we just ask Him. He don't have to die again. He already did once. Made the provision available for all. We simply ask, Father, come. Father, we're asking You. Bring Your power. Bring Your glory. Let it be to such a degree, Father. We want to walk into that. Teach us how to move into that. Bring the wisdom, Father, that we need. We're asking You for wisdom, Lord. We're asking You for grace to help us, Lord. We have a need, Lord. We desire to see You move in the earth, to see St. Thomas saved, Father. We're asking You, Lord. Lord, we thank You for wisdom today. We believe we have wisdom from You. We're going to keep drawing near, Lord. We thank You that we have ears to hear. We thank You that we have eyes to see. We thank You that we have a heart to understand. That we get Your mind and Your desire. Because see, He desires it more than we do. He desires it so much more than we ever thought we could. But He brings His heart to us, amen. So why does He do that? Because He wants us to share as a father and a son in the family business. In the joy of leading someone to Jesus. In the joy of seeing that blind eye open. What you gonna do? That blind child steps on the bus with his cane. And you just said, Jesus, heal him. You didn't even touch him. You said, Jesus can heal you. He can? Yeah. Let me touch you. You reach out, you just grab that child's hand, and boom, his eyes pop open. Well, she lost her job for getting somebody healed. Think God's bigger than that? He said, well, it's impossible. No, no. Not impossible. Why? Because sometimes the religious people, see, they're the ones that get angry. It's usually not the world. They come loving you. I think their parents would be real happy you did that. Not only that, maybe they were millionaires. Hallelujah. They say, well, I know you lost your job. We just want to help you out. Here's a couple hundred thousand. That'll take care of you for a year or two. We just want to bless you because we love Jesus now. Our child's no longer blind. They're like every other child. They're having fun running around. They can see. But you're the first face they saw. Glory to God. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible. It will happen. We believe. When we draw near and we listen for His wisdom. He's going to take us into that and regions, not just St. Thomas, but St. Thomas and beyond is going to be born again. People that are beginning to come to Jesus out of emotional wheelchairs, out of physical wheelchairs, out of spiritual poverty because they're poor in spirit. They don't know God or they are spiritually bound by the devil. Or religion. How many think Jesus is bigger than religion? See, the early church stood not 1 year, but 300 years. Paganism began to collapse. Here we are. Hallelujah. I'm so glad they stood. How long are you going to stand, Brother Doug? Until. Well, why does it take so long? I don't have that answer yet. I'm not really sure, totally. I know some of it's God's waiting on us, but there's also some things that, you know, there's other people involved, there's other things involved. He's ready to do it. I don't think it has to take a long time. I really don't. We've been made righteous, we've been cleansed. We made holy before Him. We were created in true righteousness and holiness. We have a spirit that's alive to God. But those things are kind of like our ultimate goal. It doesn't mean there's not other things in our life. I mean, there's a lot of things in life, okay? We'll talk about those too, you know? Like having a good marriage. Being a good steward of our money, amen? How do we write a budget? Might be a good teaching, huh? Amen? Well, you wrote a budget, brother. How'd you do that? That's okay. Some people might not even know, you know, there's people don't even know how to use a checkbook. had a friend of mine, he didn't know how to use a checkbook. The bank says, you're overdrawn. He said, I can't be. I still got checks left. And he was serious. I know that sounds funny to us. It's stupid, but if you don't know, you don't know. We perish for lack of knowledge. Amen. If we knew how to have a revival, we'd already have it, wouldn't we? But we're learning and we're growing. If we knew everything, we'd already be there. But we're gaining knowledge along the way. That's why we keep praying in other tongues. Because the Holy Spirit prays out what? The mind of the Father. The will of God. The purpose and plans of God. The mysteries of God. And they're not to stay mysteries. They're not mysteries to God. They're mysteries to us that are to be answered in understandings of things to do. Maybe a business to start. Maybe he wants you to have an orphanage. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, you know, this is pure religion. Take care of the poor, the widows, and the orphans. Amen. God blesses us. Now, there is a promise there. When we bless the poor, when we give to the poor, he says, you lend to the Lord, the Lord shall repay him. Wow. It's pretty awesome. I mean, no, orphans are usually poor. They don't have any mom and dad to take care of them. I weep every time. I know some of you know that there's an orphanage in Latvia that my wife and I have helped support for a long time and pray for. Just a little love goes a long way. Many of them come to the orphanage delayed, you know, in their developments, to watch them thrive and to come to Jesus. Or to hear about the six-year-old girl get up every morning at 6 o'clock. And she and her three siblings, she began to take authority in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Now, God, you said you're going to take care of us. I thank you, Father, for a family, a forever family that you've given all three of us. Every morning for an hour, she'd stand there before the Lord, begin to pray, begin to seek God at 6 years old. Guess what? Her family, they got a really nice family. You know why the government's doing everything? Because the church stopped its job. That's why they do it. We shouldn't get mad at them. Well, they're doing it all wrong. We need to get somebody to do it right. It's not their job. Of course they're going to do it wrong. They don't have any light. You know, freedom works out great unless you don't know Jesus. You just fall in their sin nature. Fallen nature. Let's do what's easy. Same thing they did in Egypt. Same thing that, you know, this has been happening for years. You know, their bondage in Egypt. What'd they say? Oh, kill all the men. Kill all the boy child. We don't want them to grow into a large population and come to war with us and take us over. You know how they got into Egypt, right? Joseph passed away. There's a new king. He didn't know Joseph. He didn't know God. Put him in the bondage. We talked about that last time. That's why God brought Moses. That's why he brought Jesus, because we were in a bondage of sin. Don't get so mad at the guy that's not saved. He's no different than you. He's not. Except you know Jesus. If he knows Jesus, he'll be more like you. Well, I don't know too much about that. I know I'm kind of afraid of him. He goes to the bar. Well, he also works to you next to you at work. You know? Amen. You got the opportunity, amen, to be a witness, to be a testimony. We don't have much to say if we don't know him, do we? See, when you know Jesus, it's not hard to be a witness for him. We all have a testimony. I'm not saying you have to be an evangelist to them, but you can share Jesus. Amen. Anyway, I think I'm done here. Winding down. But that's our scripture. If any man, any of you, we might talk about this some more later, but lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not, and it shall be given him. Amen. We're going to find that wisdom. We're going to move into the power of God, the presence of God, the glory of God, the saving power of God. I mean, you know, I know some people, they can pray. They may not even be filled with the Holy Ghost, but they can pray conviction on somebody. Woo! You better not get in that service. You'd be convicted. You're going to get saved. And they'd come to Jesus. Maybe when you pray some more of that, God would convict the heart. Amen. But he does the convicting. See, we're just the testimony. God does the convicting. Amen. He does the saving. He does the regenerating. That's God's job. It's the Holy Spirit's job. He does all that. We're just the witness. But if we never say anything, we don't talk about Jesus, not much conviction happens. Amen. But that's changing. That's changing right now because we're getting God's wisdom. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have spoke to us, Lord, in painting a picture of revival, the kind that you want, where men come running to you, Father, where they receive the great Holy Ghost, where there's miracles, signs, and wonders that follow the ministry of your word. We know that we've seen some, Father. We've seen some. We've all had some things happen. But Father, we desire more. We desire to see all, Father. We desire to see the fullness of your glory in this earth. And Father, I thank you that you're pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh, that your sons and our sons and daughters do prophesy. I thank you, Father God, that our young men have visions, Father. Our old men dream dreams, Father. And I thank you, Father, upon our handmaidens, Lord, our children, Lord. You do pour out your Spirit, and they can prophesy, and they will speak forth the Word of God. We thank you, Father, for all of us, each one of us, drawing near to you, Father, listening for your wisdom, Father, because you had said that you will not withhold it from us in any way because you are such a giver. And I thank you, Father, for being that giver today, that we have wisdom in our individual lives. We have wisdom as a body, as the body of Christ, as a church. And Father, we go forward into all that you desire for each and every one of us. And we obtain your promises and we possess them, Father. And we continue to stand for them and we fight for them, Father, because we fight the good fight of faith. And we thank you that we're going to win. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.